Well, thank you there, brother, and it's great for y'all to be joining me today in this teaching, talking about when things go wrong. Do you ever have anything go wrong in your life, Mr. Miss Trucker? Well, sure you do, if you're human. We're going to have problems. The question we have to ask ourselves is when things go wrong, not if they go wrong, but when they go wrong, where do we turn to? How do we react? You know, and we ought to know by now, especially as adults, that things don't always work out the way we think they ought to. But as born-again Christians, we have certain promises in the Word that I want to share a few with you today, that a direction maybe to refocus when things do go wrong. And I've been in a position, I'm sure you have, that it seemed like nothing's going to go right. You know, it seemed like Murphy's Law was in effect. You know, if it can go wrong, it is. One time I remember years back when we had our truck and I was trucking across the country and, you know, we were tithing. We were supporting work, ministries and this, that, and other, doing what we felt like the Lord wanted us to do financially. We were living right, quote, unquote. I mean, you know, the best we could, going to church and supporting the church and doing different things. But it seemed like everything I tried to do went wrong. And I just started doing a lot of soul searching. And one thing we always know is Romans 8:28. You're probably familiar with that scripture. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, first of all, I heard Dr. Stanley preach a message on this verse one time, and I picked up something from that. And it says, he said, the word we miss is together. The word together. Now, notice also in this verse, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, that God doesn't cause all things, right? Now, listen very carefully, because sometimes when things go wrong, we tend to blame God. God, what are you doing? What is going on here? Well, again, he says here that he causes all things to work together for good. Now, even though we might even be in the midst of a tragedy, I remember losing little Maggie. You know, the worst things happened to us so far. You know, just a horrible tragedy in our life. But God can turn the deepest, darkest, worst moment of your life into triumph if you let him. We should go to God in praise and adoration, digging in his word for answers instead of going to God and saying, "What are you doing? What did you do? Why aren't you here? Why didn't you answer my prayer?" Well, he did answer your prayer. He did answer our prayers about Maggie, for instance, and every other prayer I've ever prayed. He just don't always answer it like I want him to or when I want him to. Again, Romans 8:28. We know, first of all, we need to get to the point in our Christian life that we know the Bible is correct. The Bible can't be wrong. The Bible is absolutely infallible. Now, I know there's a group going around today. There's a movement going around today that's saying that it's possible for the Bible to be have an error in it. It's possible for it to be wrong. Well, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, let me tell you something. If that were true, which is not, if that were true, just throw it in the trash and forget the whole deal. You see, I have bet my life on the fact that this Word of God is true, and it is, because it proves itself over and over and over in my life and in your life and the life of everybody. And again, we got to get to the point where it says we know that all things work together for good. Good, bad, and ugly, it's going to come out good overall. You see, as a parent, many times your children, if they're like mine, if your children might look, you tell them to do something or tell them they can't do something, and they look at you like, "Have you lost your rabbit mind?" What is your reasoning, they might think, whether they say it or not. And you know, we're the same way with God. We go to God with our petitions and our requests. What we should say in the beginning, the prayer just like Jesus prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done," you see. Because we can know that all things are going to work together for good to those who love God. Question, do I love God? I'm not talking about just talking about it. I'm not talking about on the surface. I'm talking about, do I love God with all of my heart, with all of my being? Jan and I have been married now over 41 years. Praise God. Thank God. Every day I thank God for my wife. Are we in agreement all the time? Shoot, no. No, we're two humans. And you know, if we were exactly alike, then one of us is not necessary anyway. We need the different personalities, and we need the wisdom of each other. And then we go to God and say, God, I want so-and-so in my life, and then we leave it alone with him. But if something goes wrong, we got to know that even that wrong can turn into good for us if we love God. If we love God. Then number two, it says, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, let me tell you something. If you love God, I didn't say just a ho-hum relationship and don't get religion on me. You know, I'm not religious. I have a relationship with God the Father, and so do you if you want it. You can too. And we can get as close to God as we want to, because he said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. I will come to you if you come to me. He's not going to force himself on us. We have to do the moving. See, we have to come to him. All right? So we know that all things, good, bad, and ugly, work together, the whole picture, put it all together, and it will come out for our good. And I can tell you that the crisis I mentioned earlier turned out for my good when I got my eyes back on God, the provider, when I got my eyes back on God, my Father, instead of getting my eyes on God, the cause of the problem. And you know the rest of that story probably. When I looked in the mirror, I saw the problem. And it was me, you know, in an area of my life. And God was trying to get my attention. You see, he will never tempt us, but he will sure test us to see where we stand. You know, it's easy to worship God. It's easy to glorify God and have his strong, bold witness when everything's going right in your life. Oh, yeah, everybody's that way. Hey, I mean, you know, everything's going good. The loads are running good. You're getting paid real good. The weather's real good. Chicken light's burning bright. To me, there wasn't nothing like, you know, a beautiful, clear night trucking out across the plains, you know, with them chicken lights burning bright. I love it. Still do. Just don't got none right now. But you know what? When everything's going great, I remember specifically getting on the Florida Turnpike. Boy, my latter driving experience, I drove for Brand Brothers Produce out of Atlanta, and I run to South Florida a lot out of Florida. In fact, I ran to Pompano Beach so much, they called me Pompano Joe. And that's all right. I had an excellent job, and I would get on the Florida Turnpike at Wildwood, headed south, get that Caterpillar up to speed, master cruise control, and just sit back and relax and go south. And I would put in a worship and praise tape, you know, and going down the pike, you know, a clear night or whatever night, and I'd be worshiping the Lord and thanking Jesus. I've got this great job. I make great money. I've got great benefits. My family's doing great, et cetera, et cetera. You know, at times like that, I call it you get high on God, you know. But let things turn south. Let things turn around. Let things start going bad. Then where's my worship? Then where is my praise? And I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself as well. You know what? But deep down inside, that's where the Holy Spirit comes alive and begins to reveal scripture to you that you have read and studied. You see, that's the importance of studying the Word, reading it out loud. When you read it out loud, you see it goes into your spirit, man, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. You've heard me say that many times. What you read goes into your mind. What you hear goes into your spirit, man. Good, bad, or ugly, all of the above. And the mind is Satan's playground. The mind is where the intellect or the soul is. And that's his playground. He plays mind games with me all the time. And I know he does you, as in saying you're not really a Christian. He loves to accuse. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. So he's constantly accusing me, telling me I'm not the Christian I ought to be. And of course, I know that. I need to grow in the Lord. You need to grow in the Lord. So, but when all the things start going south and Satan is bombarding us with all these bad, negative thoughts, what do we do then? All right, we've already established that we know that all things work together for good. Where do we go? Do we turn to our own intellect? If you're a man, you do, and that's wrong. Us men think we can fix anything, especially a good old granddaddy. You know, it's my great delight to be around my grandchildren, you know, and it's my delight to help my children as well. I love to be able to help them along the way, not give them everything, but help them along the way, you see. And just like when I got home that night and went into emergency room and in ICU where Maggie was, and I kissed her on the forehead and I said, Granddaddy's here now. Well, in my mind, that's supposed to fix everything. But you know what? That was totally out of my reach. I couldn't do anything but pray, turn it over to God, and trust Him with the result. And you see, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you've heard this many times. I'm not giving you any script you hadn't heard before. But Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, that means the good times. That means the bad times. That means the when things are going right. That means when times are going south. Lean not unto your own understanding, because your own intellect, my training, my thoughts are going to lead me away from God, because it says Joe Hunter's going to fix it. Chaplain Joe's going to fix this. Chaplain Joe can't fix this. I must totally trust in God. I must totally lean on Him and not on myself. And it says in verse 6, of course, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In other words, Father, I don't understand what's going on. And I've had to say this many, 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 many times, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. Father, I don't understand what's going on. This is not going the way we would prefer it to go. But I know that you have my good in mind. I know that all things will work together for my good. So however this comes out, I know it fits into your master plan, because I've submitted it to you. I've given it to you, and I've asked you to take charge and take control. And so since I've asked you to take control, God, I release it to you right now. And however it comes out, I will worship you and I will praise you for it. You see, it says when we acknowledge Him, He shall direct our paths. In other words, He'll take over. He'll take over management at that point and take charge and do it the way it's best for us. Now remember, relate that to our children. How many times we've had to tell them no about something, and sometimes our no don't mean no, it means not now. In other words, certain things they wanted in life before they were ready to manage it. I remember Joey as a little fella. He used to be little, believe it or not. As a little fella, I had my survival knife from Vietnam with me, and it was razor sharp. I used it deer hunting and whatever, and of course, the first thing he wanted as a little boy was that knife. And I said, no, son, you're not ready for that. My no wasn't no. It was wait till you can handle it. But to him, he probably thought, I can handle it. I know what I'm doing. Isn't that the way we are with God, Mr. and Ms. Trucker? We go to God with our petitions. We go to God with our prayers. We go to God with our supplications, with our needs. And say, I know what I'm doing. You just work with me here. Well, that's not the way it works. Because when we submit to Him, that means we totally submit to Him. And we do not question how He does it. Oh, my. How many times, you know, again, with your children, you've called a shot. And you don't want them to question you or your authority. I know I didn't. No, sirree. Daddy has spoken. And that's supposed to be good enough. Now, don't get me wrong. They deserve a reason. Say, Daddy knows what he's talking about. Daddy knows what's best, and so on. And, of course, Joey grew up and had his own knife, his own gun, his own everything, you know. But just like when I go to God with my needs, I think I know the answer. I think I know how this is supposed to work. You know, another thing is when things go wrong, we've learned we need to turn to God, let him turn our tragedy into triumph, but in doing that, we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid. So look what 1 Timothy says, 2 Timothy rather, 1. It says, 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. This is Paul writing, of course. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, when things go south, when things go wrong, you know, we'll change that. I live in the south. I don't like that. But seriously, though, when things begin to go wrong, when our life begins to crumble, when our foundation, when everything goes wrong, and listen, we wound up, I made some business mistakes in 79, and the next few years I managed to lose everything we had. Man, we went to the rock bottom. We had to move and rent a mobile home and start all over again. But you know what? By God's grace, we said, hey, okay. I said, I've learned from that mistake. Help me not to make that mistake again. Help me to be more sensitive to your leading and not lean to my own understanding no more. All right? But Satan actually had fear in me. I wouldn't even have a credit card for a long time because I'd gotten us so far in debt and couldn't pay it. Wound up going broke. But you know what? Along with that came fear. Fear. And then I got a hold of 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, if God didn't give it to me, where'd it come from? Had to come from Satan, the enemy. But he gave me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. And with that in mind, he allowed me to grow back, to build back. Yes, indeed. You know, it took us a while. And I think it was 7, 8 years later, we moved out of a rental house into our own home again. Very humble little home, but it was ours. It was ours. In fact, Jan liked to have a duck when I told her I bought it. It had 22 broke windows in it, to be exact. Started from scratch, you might say. And thanks to a lot of friends, helped me put that house back together. And when we moved in, we had almost $20,000 net equity in it. But you know, one of the things that had to go in all that was Joe Hunter's pride, you see, starting all over again. But see, Satan gave me the spirit of fear, but God, I went to God in prayer and reading the Bible and studying the Bible, knowing that also that Hebrews 13 said, he will never leave me, he will never forsake me. So if anybody had moved, it was me, left him. He didn't leave me. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So when things are going wrong, know that God is standing right beside you, unless you walked off and left him. I mean, he's always there, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, like a good father, like a good daddy, like a good granddaddy. I want to help them. I'm not going to leave them in their time of need. Even when they're doing wrong, I don't leave them. I'm standing back waiting for them to realize their error and turn around and say, hey, I need some help. I need some help. Also, when things are going wrong, we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed, you know. We should be repentant as to what we did wrong. But listen, when God is doing some things in our life, we should just keep on living according to God's will and his direction, you see. So 2 Timothy tells us God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. It says, so therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Listen, you have friends and neighbors. Sometimes one of them might be going through very, very, very difficult times. Come alongside them. Stand under their arm, so to speak. Lift them up, spiritually speaking. Help to carry them. And if it's you in that time, allow somebody to come alongside you and get involved in a local church or a fellowship somewhere so that you have people praying for you. And we're setting something up right now you can be a member of and be accountable to, by the way, and it be accountable to you so we can do this and walk through these times together. Someone that you can call personally and pray with at any time. And so we can walk through these difficult times. So we're not ashamed of what has happened to us. I might be ashamed of what I did, but when I ask the Lord to forgive me, then I turn around, all right? And all this time, we need to maintain the standards that God has called us to. You know, we are, as Christians, we learn to walk above reproach. You know that? We're not supposed to get caught up in sin. And when things are going south, when things are being going wrong in your life, and my life, we have a tendency to say, well, who cares? What difference does it make? You know, God has forsaken me. He wasn't there none of the time. All those things that Satan will put in your mind. You know, maybe I never was saved. Maybe God don't really love me after all. All of those are lies from the enemy. All those, and to get you on a road of compromise. Oh, I have talked to hundreds of you drivers over the years, and how you've been in a dilemma, and Satan will drag you right on down if you don't call and get help. That's why the trucker's prayer line is answered 24 hours a day. If you get a machine, please leave some information so they can call you back, because he's probably on the other line praying for somebody, and after hours, we only got one line. So please maintain your integrity through the times, through the testing, through the trials, through the temptations that come our way. Philippians 1:27 says this, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul's saying to the church at Philippi here, he said, no matter where I'm with you or not, no matter where things are going good or bad, I want to hear records or hear reports that you're standing firm in the word. You see, we should maintain that standard that God has called us to. That is, he says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, the word Christian, we use that too loosely sometimes. We're born again Christians, according to the Bible. The Bible, the word Christian means Christ-like. And let me ask you something, Mr. Miss Trucker. Does that describe you? Does it describe me all the time? And in myself, no. But in Christ, yes. My righteousness, as the Bible plainly says, my righteousness, your righteousness, is just nothing but like filthy rags. And you don't even want to know what all that means, and we won't get into it now. But it's like filthy rags. It's no good. But I'm not going on my righteousness. I'm not going on my goodness. I'm going on him. Remember where we started in Proverbs? Lean not unto your own understanding. But in all of my ways, acknowledge him, acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledge his finished work on the cross. And that's what I walk in. That's where we're at. We are his children. We come under his covering. And when things go wrong, run to daddy. Just like our children, I hope. I want mine to come to me when things are wrong. I want mine to come to me when they're in trouble, so I can help them. But you see, if they're living outside my will, if they're living in a lifestyle that they know that daddy doesn't like, that daddy's not going to, you know, go along with or not going to condone, they're not going to come to daddy. Well, because same way with you and me, with our relationship with God. When we're living outside his will, when we're living in open, willful sin, knowing we're doing that, we're not very prone to go to God and ask for anything because we're ashamed of our lifestyle. So, but we got to know something, that we're God's children. If we're born again, we may be out of his will. And he put a scripture in the Bible just for that. You know what? He's got the whole thing covered. He said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What an awesome promise, Mr. Miss Trucker. He's promised If all you got to do is confess your sin. Now, confess or repent means to turn around. It means to go the opposite direction. It doesn't mean to apologize because you got caught. Apology and repentance is two different things. We don't go to God and say, well, I'm sorry you caught me. I remember Mama whipping the tar out of me about something. Said, I better not catch you doing that again, you know. And I thought, well, I didn't mean for you to catch me that time. But I wasn't repenting when she got through whipping me and I got over that. You know, unfortunately, I didn't turn from my wicked ways. But a few spankings later, I decided, well, shoot, that ain't worth it. And I would turn. But in God's case, in the spiritual application here, and we get into trouble, things go wrong. Turn to God, Mr. Miss Trucker. Turn back to God. Chances are the reason we're in trouble is because we've turned away from Him and we begin to go the wrong direction. We begin to go opposite of His leading. And when the Holy Spirit tugs at our hearts and He tries to draw us back, you know, we just keep running the other way because we don't want to face up to what we've done. We don't want to face up to the sin that's crept into our life. But Mr. Miss Trucker, let me tell you something from experience. The sooner you do that, the sooner you turn back to God, the better off you're going to be. I know I'm talking to somebody right now, via this CD or tape, that's drifted out in sin. And you're thinking, where did I go wrong? I guess I never was saved to start with. No, don't think that. Because Romans 8:17 says, if we are born again, he's talking about born again here now. I don't have time to read the whole thing. But he said, in 15 he says, you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or my Father. You see, when you're born again, you're adopted into the family of God. Into the family of God. And he doesn't cancel that. You're the only one that has the right to walk away from him because, as we've read earlier or quoted earlier from Hebrews 13:5, is where that was, says he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So if anybody has moved, it has to be you or me. God didn't move. And it goes on to say that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. This is Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, listen to this now, verse 17, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, reason I repeated if so much is because it's optional. It's optional. You know, you and I both have had fair weather friends, you know, that as long as things going good, they hang around you. As long as you're buying, everything's great. You know, Roger Miller's old song, you know, Dang Me, he said, six rounds bought and I bought five, you know, spent the money and half the rent and like $14 having 27 cents. You know, as long as you're buying, as long as you're, they're providing all their wants. You got all kinds of friends. But now, where are your friends, by the way, when things go wrong? Where are they? Your true Christian friends, like Truck Stop Ministries, I can speak for this organization, we're going to be there. We're going to be praying for you. And when we see you on the road, when we hear about it, when we hear of tragedy in your life, when we hear that even that you have turned completely away from God, and by the way, I'm not going to discuss that with anybody, but what I do immediately is start praying, God, get a hold of that person and call you by name. Lord, do something. Do a miracle in their life. Turn them back to you, Lord. Get a hold of their heart. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know that you care for them. Let them know, get back in the Word and know that they're your children. Just like in my case that time, I just felt so bad. I just could not turn it around. I couldn't financially pull it out, you know. And what I should have realized at that time is I can't do nothing. I can't do anything. I should have turned to God. See, I knew all these scriptures, but just like you right now, some of you is in the midst of an extremely difficult time in your life. Some of you are hanging on for dear life. Some of you listening to me right now are in great emotional problems, great financial problem, and you don't know, how did I ever get this way? What happened? Well, I can tell you something about finances and peace and joy and all of that. It goes back to one little key element, and when things go wrong, we quit doing it, and that's when we shoot ourselves in the foot. Jimmy Davis on Davis Express out of Florida is on our board of directors. He told me something one time that really made sense way back, and of course now it's more relevant than ever. He said when things get tough in trucking, when finances get hard, we shoot ourselves in the foot by slowing down giving or quitting giving altogether. He said, and I agree, and the Bible says that that's when we need to sow all the more. We got a little tract that the Lord let me write, back to the butterbean patch. You know, and the illustration is simply this, and this can be applied to virtually every area of your life, especially when things go wrong. If the finances are going down, start planting more. And the illustration is this. Start out with two people, a little garden, one row of butter beans is sufficient. Get a full-grown family. You know, the need is greater. What do? Plant less butter beans? No, you plant more. If you need more peace, you plant more peace. If you need more joy, plant more joy. Find someone who has none and plant into their life. Now, I'm talking about peace, joy, happiness, love, etc. When you need peace in your life, don't plant road rage. When you're totally frustrated in your life because things have gone wrong, things have gone south, so to speak, and you can't get it together, the last thing you want to do is start planting hate and discontent, because the Bible says in Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall be poured into your lap, or into your bosom, one version says. Give, and it, whatever you're given, Mr. Miss Trucker, Galatians 6, 7 and 8 says you will reap exactly what you sow. So we need to ask ourselves, all right, now we've got in this situation. Things are going wrong. Things are going bad. We can't get a grip on it. We can't seem to see the end of the tunnel. You know, as one guy said, he saw a light at the end of the tunnel and come to find out it was a train coming the other way. No. The light at the end of your tunnel, Mr. Miss Trucker, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's standing there. He has all the answers, and they're all found in the precious, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Turn back to God today, Mr. Miss Trucker. I beg of you. You can start by calling the Trucker's Prayer Line 24 hours a day. Let someone pray with you and get back into a Bible study. Get back into the Word. No, your flesh is not going to want to do that. Even as you hear me speak, it's rebelling. Even right now, something inside you said, don't do that. It's not working. You've already tried that, and it don't work. That's the lie from the enemy. Because like in the butterbean patch, I remember we lived in South Georgia. We had to plant a garden. It wasn't no better homes than gardens. It wasn't a hobby. It was so we could eat. Corn, butterbean, okra, et cetera, et cetera. And as the need grew greater, as the family grew bigger, we planted more, not less. And, and if something happened to that planting, we'd just simply plant again, and we'd just keep going. See, the last thing you want to do is turn to the devil and follow his leading. And it's always there, man. He's always there. He's always trying to persuade us to go the wrong way. And all of my work right now in the ministry, He loves to aggravate me. Oh, yeah. But you know what? I know that you're praying for me. I know you are. I can sense it. I can feel it, for the sake of a better term. I know you're praying for me. And I thank God for that. And that's what sustains me. That's what keeps me going. You know, on this trip I'm on right now, man, had mechanical problem. But you know what? Just as surely as something built by man, it's going to break down. If things start going wrong, Mr. Miss Trucker, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge who? The Lord Jesus Christ. How do I acknowledge him, Chaplain Joe? You get back in the Word and relearn who he is. Relearn what he does. Go back there and get the assurance that comes from knowing. Now, your experiences have said it's not working. Your experiences are dictating that. But you know what, Mr. Miss Trucker? All of that is a cover. All that is a screen that Satan has put in. Or maybe God is allowing you to be tested. Not tempted now, but tested. Big difference. God allows tests to come in our life to see where we're at. Read in the book of James, and it says, when you need wisdom, the book of James, by the way, James is filet mignon, man. It's woo, it's a powerful book. But he says in James chapter 1 that if we need wisdom, we should ask of God. Ask of God, not the world. Not the world, not sitting around a counter at the truck stop listening to philosophers. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of godly people out there give you godly counsel. But if they're not giving you scriptural godly counsel, then don't listen. Don't listen. But he says here, you know, in James chapter 1, verse 5, he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, and who don't? I do. You lack wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. He says, ask of God, and God gives to everybody. Everybody who seeks God's wisdom in faith. Now, here's the thing. In faith, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Hey, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but let the rich in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field, he will pass away. In other words, all the stuff we have is one day going to be all gone. Only thing's going to last is our relationship with God. Mr. Miss Trucker, where are you today? Where is your relationship today? Is it where it should be? And there's none that don't need improving. Mine, yours, anybody else. And I solicit your prayers. I ask for your prayers all the time. Please pray for Truck Stop Ministries. Pray for the board of directors. We have decisions all the time to govern the ministry. The men that serve on our board are in the trucking industry or retired from the trucking industry. And we need your prayer. The chaplains need your prayers. They need your prayer because all the full-timers are raising their own support. They have to raise their own pay so that they can be there to minister to you. So it doesn't matter if it's one of our chapels, anybody's chapel, tell the chaplain thank you for being there. You know, and by the way, Mr. Miss Trucker, let me say thank you for your generous support. Thank you, because I brag, even though we never pass the plate at our chapels. If that happens, you call me. But we never pass the plate, but yet the vast majority of our income is from you, the individual truck driver, and I'm bragging on you. Because some of you, I know, are giving financially in a financial crunch. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to turn around for you, and it's going to come back to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, today, thank you for joining me in this teaching today about what to do when things go wrong. Just know this, he will turn your tragedy into triumph. He will turn it around. He will work all things out for your good. You know, it may take a while. Don't give up. Hang in there. Call the Trucker's Prayer Line as many times as you want to, as many times as you need to. Let's pray together, and let's walk out of this valley, as the old gospel song says. I'm going to walk out of this valley praising the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord in the valley. I'm going to praise the Lord on the mountaintop. That's the attitude we should have. All right, let's close with this prayer. If there's sin in your life today, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, 1 John 1 and 9, we quoted earlier, promises if we confess it, he'll forgive us. So if you need that today, if you've wandered away, maybe you're a born-again Christian, but maybe just wandered away from God's will for your life, pray this with me right now. You don't have to close your eyes if you're driving or whatever. Just keep driving. Just repeat this with me. Heavenly Father, that's it. That's it, just like that. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. I know I've done wrong. I know I'm not where I should be. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Lead my life. Direct my life according to your perfect will. I thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross, saving me from my sin. Thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now call and let us know that you prayed that prayer, and we'll be praying with you. Call us anytime, and may God richly bless you is my prayer.